Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Tzaddi Aleph. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Yosef Ben Simcha Sheniftar B'Kitzur Yamim V'Shanim by his brother Jerry Harari and family. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning from the Mishnah on Tzaddi Amud Bet. We begin the 10th Perek of Masechet Shabbat, Perek HaMatzniyah. And the Mishnah says, HaMatzniyah LeZera VeLedugma VeLerfua VeOtzio BeShabbat Hayav BeChol Shehu VeChol Adam En Hayav Alav Ela KeShi'uro. As we've been learning in the previous Perakim, to be Hayav on Shabbat, one must carry out a significant measure of the specific item in order to be considered Hayav Hatat if he carried it inadvertently b'shogeg. In the previous Perakim, we listed different items and their significant shi'ur. For example, by food, we said the default shi'ur is gerogeret. By most liquids, we said the shi'ur is a revi'it. And we went through different items and we listed their shi'urim. In the last perek, we discussed the shi'ur of seeds. We said, according to one opinion, the shi'ur is 5 seeds, which we considered the minimum amount to be considered hayab. Tanakama said, even a kol shi'ur, less than a gerogeret, less than a fig's worth of seeds. In any event, our Mishnah says, however, if somebody shows importance even to one seed, for example, let's say he stores one seed, so that already shows to us that that one seed is indeed important to him. So for the matzniyah, for the one that stores the seed, he is going to be hayav hatat if he brings out even one seed, because for him it's considered shi'ur hashuv. And that's what the Mishnah means. Hamatzniyah lezera. If a person, let's say, stores for planting, or ledugma, let's say a sample, he needs to sell his goods, so he has different samples of his goods. So if he stores, let's say, a sample, or a certain measure that he uses for medicinal purposes, and then he carried that measure out, so the shi'ur is going to be even a kol shehu, even the smallest amount. However, everybody else who does not show significance to that small amount is going to be hayav on the regular amount that was prescribed in the earlier Mishnayot. So it's only a din for the matzniyah. Then the Mishnah concludes, it says, Hazar v'chniso eno hayav ela kishi'uro. Which means, let's say the fellow was matzniyah the item. Right? So to him now, even a small measure is chashuv. And now let's say he brought it out, and so then we said it'll be hayab. Now let's say he's bringing it back into his storage, into his storage area, let's say, meaning he changed his mind. Now to him he's saying, this item is not hashuv to me anymore. Which means now he wants to turn back like a regular guy. He's, let's say, carried one seed out. So when he was matzniyah, that one seed had a certain hashivut. So he'd be hayav if he carried out. But let's say now he's carrying it back to the storage, and in his mind he says, you know something, one seed is not important to me anymore. So certainly once he changes his mind, now since one seed is not important to him anymore, so he's not going to be hayav on that carrying. So that's what the last din in the Mishnah means. Hazar v'chniso, if he went and let's say returned the item back into the storage, enu hayav ela kishi'uro. He's not going to be hayav, only the prescribed measure. We're talking about a case again where he changed his mind. So comes to the Gemara and says, Lama le limitni hamatzniya litni hamotzi lezera v'ledugma v'lerfu'a hayav bekolchiu. Which means the Gemara is bothered with, why did the Mishnah have to make a case of somebody that stored the item? He was a matzniyah. The point of our Mishnah is, if somebody shows significance to even a kol shehu of an item, he's going to be hayav on that item, even if he didn't store it. Which means, let's say the guy never stored seeds. But he just goes out on Shabbat and takes one seed, and Timmy wants to plant one seed, so the Mishnah is going to be Hayav even if he didn't store it. So why did the Mishnah have to say Hamatzniyah? The Mishnah could have just said Hamotzi, somebody that takes out into the public domain a shiur that's significant to him. Why would the Mishnah go out of its way to say that he had to store it first? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye, Hakabi Mayaskinan, what are we talking about over here? Kegon Shitzni'o. We're talking about a specific case where he really stored it. Because why? He had a certain importance to that, let's say, one seed. To him it was important. Then what happened? Veshachah Lema'etzni'o. And then he forgot why he actually stored it, which means he forgot the purpose of why he stored that one item, what the significant value of that item was. And now he carries that, for example, one seed out with a stam intention, with a blanket intention. So the Gemara says, Mao de tema, I would have thought, batule batla machshavato kamashmalan, which means I would have thought that maybe his original intention, that he stored it for a significant reason, maybe I would say that since he forgot that intention, and now he's carrying it out just with a blanket intention, he's not really thinking of anything about the original storing, so I might have thought he should be patur. Because bottom line, he doesn't even know what the purpose of this one item's value is. So you might have thought that it's vipatur, kamashmalat. So comes the Mishnah and teaches us, kol ha'oseh al da'at rishona ha'oseh. Which is anybody that's doing something, we assume he's doing it according to his original intention. And since his original intention was to give this seed, for example, significance, it is significant still. So the Hiddush of the Mishnah is like this. Since the guy stored it, and when he stored it, he invested in that item a certain significance, and that's by the fact that he stored it. That shows that he's giving it a hashivu to it. Now, even though he forgot why he stored it, and he forgot what the importance of it is, now he just went and carried that one seed, hayav. Why? Because based on the original intent, at the time of the storage, he's going to be hayav. That's why the Mishnah had to give a case of matzniyah. If the Mishnah just would have given a regular case of a guy carried something, but if a guy carries something in the shoot to him and he doesn't know the importance of it and doesn't give it any specific significance to it, he's going to be patur. The only reason why he's hayav in this case is because he was a matzniyah. Since at the time of the storage, he valued it and gave it an importance, even though later on, subsequently, he forgot it, based on the original storage kavana, it's going to mehayev him later on. That's why the Mishnah had to say a case of hamatzniyah, because it is the kavana that he had at the time of the hatznah, at the time of the storage, that's going to obligate him later on after he forgot it. Based on what principle? Based on the principle the Gemara says on the second line, kol ha'oseh al da'at rishona ha'oseh. Anybody that does things like this, we assume he's doing it according to his original intention. And since his original intention was to give it significance, even though now he forgot it, he's still going to be hayab. Now it should be pointed out that Rishonim ask a question that really this Mishnah seemingly is superfluous. We learned this in Daf Ayin Hei, Perek Klal Gadol, the same rules. We learned that if a guy's matzniya something and he gives it value, so he's going to be hayab even on a smaller measurement. Why would the Mishnah have to repeat it? So that she says, for this exact chidush. Because now it's not a regular case of matzniya, it's a case of matzniya v'shachach. So matzniya v'shachach, that added situation is going to teach us a chidush that what? Even though you're shachach of the significance of it, you're bound to the original intention and therefore you're going to be hayah. So then when you're reading our Mishnah, just to go back, hamatzniyah, so you have to keep in your mind, it's hamatzniyah v'shachach. That's the situation. Comes the Gemara further and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shemuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shemuel, Mechayev haya Rabbi Meir, Ab b'motzi chita achat lizdi'ah. He said, Rabbi Meir, that one who takes out even one kernel of wheat is going to be hayav. So the Gemara says, Bishita, kol shehu tenan.
What does that mean? Of course, the Mishnah said, even the smallest measure, meaning if one kernel is going to be significant to him, so it'll be hayav on one kernel, which means, what do I need to be me'ir to come and tell me that if you take one kernel of wheat, isn't that obvious from the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, any measure if that is significant is going to hold somebody liable for it. So Gemara says, now the tema, as you would have thought, kol shehu la'apuke megirogeret, which is, could be when it says in the Mishnah kol shehu, maybe you would have interpreted it to mean it just means you don't need a girogeret, which is the standard shehu, let's say, for food stuff. So maybe when it said kol shehu, it didn't mean kol shehu, it just meant you don't need a girogeret. Ulolam ad ika kezayet, but I would say maybe you need at least a kezayit, which means maybe you need a somewhat of a significant shiur. Kamash malan, the bimir comes and says, no, when it says kol shu, it means a kol shu. It means even one kernel of wheat. Don't think when it said in the Mishnah kol shu, it meant meaning less than a get or get it, but at least maybe a kezayit you need. No, means even a kol shu, as we said, one seed of hita. Matkif la Rav Yitzchak b'red Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yitzchak b'red Rav Yehuda is matkif. He asks a question. It's a machlok at exactly where this question is going on. According to Rashi, he learns this question is going back to Abaye. Abaye is the one that told us the answer where a person, let's say, was matzniya something. Right, he gave it significance when he was matzniyah, and then he forgot why he did it, and then he carried it out without any intention. Now he forgot, he doesn't know why he's carrying, he doesn't know the importance that he had to it. And he said he's still going to be hayab. So according to that, the following question was asked. Ela me'ata hishev leotzi kol beto. Let's say a person, in his mind, his significance is he wants to carry out all the wares in his house. That's an intention. To him, that is considered shiur hashuv. In his mind, it's the reverse case. He gives, instead of giving a minimum, this guy now has a very large maximum number that's considered hashuv to him. Anything less than his whole house to him is not hashuv. He wants to move all his wares out. For example, take a sheet, to put all his wares into the sheet, wrap it up and carry it out. Anything missing is not hashuv to him. He wants all of it out. So you're going to tell me, hachan amed delo mechayev ad mapik lechule? What, you're going to tell me that the guy moved his whole house out, minus a few items? Are you going to tell me, since in his mind, he didn't give significance only to the whole house, so he's going to be patur? Which is based on the principle that we're learning now. You're learning the principle that what, since he gave it hashivut, so that makes it the shiur. So let's go the other way then. You're going to tell me if a guy gives significance to his whole house, so you're going to tell me he's not going to be hayav if he takes his whole house out minus one item? Because bottom line, that shiur is not considered significant to him. Tosafot understands this question the same way. He just understands that this question is asked not on Abaye, it's being asked on just what we just said, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel quoted the Bimeir. The Bimeir said, well, if a person carries one hita out on Shabbat and it's hashuv to him, he's going to be hayav. One chita, why? Because he gave it significance. So does that mean if a guy gives his whole entire house significance, he's going to be hayab? Or the only when he takes out the whole thing, but if he takes out less, he's mipatur? So comes Gemara and said, nah, not a fair analogy. Why? Hatam batla da'to etzel kol adam. You know, over there by the case of the house, this man over here, he's a... His views are, let's say, are nullified by the majority of people. The majority of people don't have such a standard where the whole house is considered shiur hashuv. Most people, even less than that, is considered a significant shiur. And therefore, if a person carries, let's say, less than his whole house to the majority of the world, that's considered an important measure. So for this one guy, whose measure is the whole house, he's not going now
to even ruin it for himself, which means this guy is considered batlad da'ato etzer kol adam. He's the minority of the minority. However, it is common that a person will use one hita to plant. Which is, that is not so far-fetched. A person will take one hita, one grain, the kernel, to plant it. So therefore, for him, that's going to be considered shur hashuv. Meaning, so therefore, this guy, who's going to take out all his wares, minus a few wares, he's going to be hayav. We don't say that this guy says, no, to me, only the whole house is hashuv. That's far-fetched. That's outrageous. It's batladato etzel kol ha'adam.
If you want to just look at the Tosafot. Tosafot, the top Tosafot, says, towards the end of it, the en adam shelo ye hashuv be'enav pachot mikin. Aval ha'aka yesh b'nei adam shehashuva lehem chayta ha'at lezri'a.
Which means, yeah, you will find people that show importance to one kernel of wheat, so therefore you could say it's hayav, but you can't tell me that only the whole entire house is considered shur hashuv. That's not considered the normal measurement. And we go further. V'chol adam en hayavim alav ela kishiuro. The Mishnah said that everybody else besides the matzniyah is going to be hayav based on the default measurements that we discussed in the previous Mishnayot. Our Mishnah is not going like the Bishwamin El Azar. This is an opinion that we saw several times in the previous Perakim. The Tanya, because we learned in the Bright, that Klal Amar Bishwamin El Azar, the Bishwamin El Azar taught us a rule called She'eno Kasher Latznia, something that is not fitting. Well, something that is not fit to store, ve'en matzni'im kamo, and most people do not store an item in that measurement, ve'uchshar leze, but for one guy, he saw it fit to store it, ve'etzni'o, and he did store it, uba aher ve'otzi, and somebody else came and took out that item that this guy stored, netchayev ze, b'machashavto sheze. As we learned, that Bishimom el-Azad held that the storer now obligates somebody else that takes out that item. Which means, we learned that the machshava of the storer is able to obligate somebody else. That was the Mishmam and Elazar's opinion. And then, well, let's say somebody stored, you know, a guy is an exceptional case. Majority of people don't store the item. And it's not fit to be stored. And this guy went and he stored a very minimal amount of an item. And the guy came out and took out that item. So somebody else. So he's going to be hayav based on the storer's machshava. That's the Bishwam and Lazar's opinion. Our Mishnah obviously is not going like the Bishwam and Lazar. Because our Mishnah clearly said, V'chol Adam, everybody else, is not hayav only according to the standard measurements. Which means we're not hayav based on this one man in this matzniyah's shi'ur. Comes to give it up further. Amar Rav Nachman. Some more cases. Hotzi kegrogeret la'achila. Let's say a fellow took out a gerogeret the size of a fig for eating purposes. Now we know, for eating purposes, the shiur is a gerogeret. V'nimlach aleha lizri'ah. And before he put it down, he changed his mind and said he wants to use these seeds, for example, for planting. Now we know the shiur for planting is much less. So again, he has a gerogeret of seeds. Okay? Now to be hayav carrying, you need two stages. You need an akira and you need an anaha. You need to lift it in one domain and place it down in the other domain. So what did the guy do? He took a gerogeret. So he has the large measurement of a gerogeret, and his intent at the time of the akira was for what? To akhila. So he has the proper shi'ur. And he went out and he carried it into another domain. Before he placed it down, before he made the hanaha, he said, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want to use these seeds for eating. I want to use these seeds for planting. Now the shiur for planting is less, right? Two seeds or five seeds, depending on what type of seeds they are. So the Gemara says, iname, or the other case. Let's say he took a gerogeret worth of seeds, lizli'ah, and his original intent at the time of the akira was for planting. Well, certainly he had enough for planting. He had a get or get it in his hand. And then before he put it down, he changed his mind, which means for the shi'ud of achila, which he had again in his hand, because he had a get or get it, hayav. In this case, you hayav. What's the logic? Because bottom line, at the time of the akira and at the time of the hanaha, you had the proper shi'ud. Which means for achila, the shi'ud is a get or get it, and all the more so for ziri'ah. So no matter what your kavanah was at the akira or the hanaha, bottom line, you did have a significant shi'ud to be hayav, both at the akira and the hanaha stage. So the Gemara says, peshita. I mean, that's obvious. So the Gemara says, Zilacha ika shi'ura. Go over here, meaning at the time of the Akidah, you had the significant shi'ud. Vizilacha, and go over here, meaning at the time of the Hanaha, ika shi'ura, you have a shi'ud. He says, Baba, what are you teaching me? That's an obvious case. Well, oh, ma'udetem, because you would have thought, ba'inan akidah ba'anaha b'hadam machshava. I would have thought that to be hayav, you need to have the same machshava. Meaning, here you went from achila to ziri'ah, or ziri'ah to achila. So therefore, it was different thoughts. Even though the shiur was there, you might think to be considered hayav a korban hatat in hotza'ah, the achila and the hanaha have to be united. And what makes them united? Meaning it was the same thought that unites them. But if you had different thoughts, you started off with the akira for akira purpose, then you change it to ziri'ah, could be the different thoughts split the action. So Rava comes and teaches you? No. Then it's okay, so long as you have the significant shi'ur at the time of the akira and the hanaha, which is a get or get it you had in this case, I don't care if you changed your intent from achila to ziri'ah. So that's the first case of Rava. So Gemara says, Ba'e Rava. So now Rava asks the question. Case number two. Hotsi hatsi get or get it l'ziri'ah. Let's say you took half a get or get it for ziri'ah. Now for ziri'ah, that's enough. Half a get or get it is fine for ziri'ah. I mean, you made your akira. Now watch what happened. Ve'tafha. And now before you put it down, it expanded, it swelled. And therefore it reached the shi'ud of a get or get it. Means the seeds that you had in your hand, they swelled to the shi'ud of a get or get it. And before you put it down, your intention was what? For achila, mau. What is the deen in that case? So Gemara says, "Im tumsedobar hatamu demechayev." If you're going to tell me, oh, let's learn from the last case. I say, well, the last case, the logic was what? Dizilacha ikashiura, vizilacha ikashiura. The last logic was you always had to get or get it. At the time of the akira, you had to get or get it. At the time of the hanaha, you had to get or get it. In the first case, therefore, you were hayab. Acha kevad de'beidna de'afke. But here, at the time that you took it out, your kavanah was for ziri'ah, and you had less than a get or get. The shi'ud was less. I'll tell you that you can't be hayav in this case, because true at the time of the hanaha, where your kavanah was for akila, you had a shi'ud. However, at the time of the akira, you did not have a shi'ud of get or get it. Therefore, could be you're not hayav. I mean, the first case, the logic was what? You had the proper shi'ud, both at the akira and both at the hanaha. I don't care what your kavanot were. Here, you started off with less than a shi'ud of a get or get it. And therefore, true at the end, when you had kavanah for achila, it swelled up and you had the shi'ud of get or get it. But could be, you're not going to be hayav in such a case, because the shi'ud changed and you didn't have a shi'ud achila at the time of the akira. Or dilma, or maybe, kevan di ilu ishtik. Or I could say like this, since if let's say the guy wouldn't have thought anything, let's say the guy would have literally been quiet, which means he wouldn't have changed his kavanah, velo hashiv alein, he wouldn't have thought, he wouldn't have changed his thought, which means he would have, let's say his intention was for ziri'ah originally, let's say he would have followed through for ziri'ah. So he says, mechayev ha-machshavad de ziri'ah, he would be hayav, because bottom line, he has the shi'ud of ziri'ah, ha-shtanameh mechayev. So maybe also now, he'll be hayav, which means could be since bottom line, his intention originally was for ziri'ah, he had the shi'ud of ziri'ah, so by changing his thought, that's not going to change, that's not going to bring a reason of p'tur. Because I'll tell you, if the guy didn't have any thought, let's say, bottom line, the guy would still be hayav for ziri'ah, because you still have the shi'ud of ziri'ah. As a matter of fact, it even got bigger. So therefore, I'm not going to say that the thought of Akhila is going to exempt him. Because even if he didn't change his thought, if he just would have had the shoot for Zidiyad the whole way through, sure he would have been Hayab. So I would say maybe the change of thought does not render him to be Patur. So that's the two sides of the second equation. Let's review the second case again. The second case is what? He took a hefer gerugeret. He took a hefer gerugeret. Akira was with intention for Zidiyah. He had enough. And then what? Before the Hanaha, it swelled. Right? And therefore it reached the shiur of a gerugeret. So the guy, he put it down. So the Gemara wants to know, is Hayab or not? Well, if you go according to the last logic, well, you didn't have a shiur of gerugeret at the Akira. Well, you did have it at the end, so therefore it could be patur. Or do I say, listen, if the guy didn't change his kavanah, if the guy just would have been zidi'ah, kavanah fizyad the whole way through, certainly would have been hayab. Therefore, the fact that he had kavanah now for achila is not going to break him patur. So the Gemara says, let's see. The imtim silomar, even if you want to tell me the answer to this question is, kevan di'ilu ishtik v'lo hashab alem mechayev ha-machshavad zidi'ah, hashta namim mechayev. Which is, if you want to tell me the second logic is sound, which is going to be Hayav in this case. Because why? Even if you didn't change your Kavanah, if you wouldn't have changed your Kavanah from Ziri'at to Akhila, you would have been Hayav. So therefore the change is not going to bring you Patur. If you want to entertain that side of the Shi'ud, how about this case? Case number three. Hotsi kegrogeret la'akhila. This is a reverse a little. You took out a Shi'ud for Akhila, which is you took out a shiur of a gerogeret, v'tzamka, and now it shriveled, it got smaller, v'nimlach aleh l'zri'ah, and then when you put it down, before you put it down, your kavanah was what for zri'ah. So the Gemara says, mau, what's going to be the deen over there? Ha'cha badai ki ishtik. Here, over here, in this case, over here, where the original intentions were what for akhila, if he wouldn't have changed his intention, which means you cannot mechayev him on the original intent, because the original intent was for achila. Now already it's too small. So in this case, if he didn't change his intention, that logic does not work. Or do I say as a bottom line, I go what it is now. Now bottom line, it's small, but it's machshavas for zidiyah, so it's going to be a chayev. So what are you going to do in that case? So the Gemara Zvim to Silomar Batarash Tazina Numechayev. And if you're going to tell me, fine, we're going to go according to what it is now, and if it's going to be Hayav, fourth case. Hotsi ki gerogeret la'achila. Person, let's say, brought out a gerogeret, shiur for eating purposes, that's the right shiur. Vetzamka. It got small, it shriveled. Vehazra vetafha. And then it swelled back again to the shiur of a gerogeret before you put it down. Mahu, what's the deen in that? Yesh dihui li'anyan Shabbat or en dihui li'anyan Shabbat? We have a concept of dihui. Dihui means when something was worthy and then became unworthy. Now, once it becomes unworthy, even though it becomes worthy again, does that consider like a break in the action? Does that consider separating the akira from the hanaha? Therefore, I'll tell you like this. Yeah, he took it out for akhila purpose. He had the shi'ud. What happened? It became shriveled. Okay, dihui was pushed away. Which is now you do not have the shi'ud. And then what happened? It came back to the shi'ud. Do I say the fact that it became unworthy, at that moment it was pushed away, therefore the akhila that you did is considered not valid. It's a break in the action. And therefore, even though it came back to the shi'ud, you're not going to be hayab. Or not? Or do I say no? The concept of dihui does not apply by the laws of Shabbat. Maybe it only applies by the laws of korbanot. Let's say so. The Gemara on that answer says tiku. The Gemara leaves that in a question. So let's review, gentlemen, quickly the four cases that were brought. The first case that Rabba brought was what? The obvious case. You brought a gerogeret, and it stayed a gerogeret the whole way through. Just what changed? Your machshava. Now, either you started for the Mashallah Akhila and you went to Ziri'ah, or you started with Ziri'ah to Akhila. Bottom line, you had to get it the whole way through. So therefore, even though your Mashallah changed, bottom line, the shiur was always there. That was the obvious case. Let's say you're going to be Hayab. Based on that, we wrote a second case. The second case was, you took out a half a get it for Ziri'ah. which was fine, which the akira was legitimate. And what happened? The tafa, it swelled up, and then, before you placed it down, your kavana was for akira. Well, now really it didn't have the shiur of akira based on the swelling. Well, but if you base it on the first question does not help us in this case, because here, you started off with no shiur of akira, and you ended up with the shiur. So according to that, we'll say maybe be patur. Or do I say, bottom line, If he just would have stayed with his original mashamav ziri'ah, he would have been hayab. So therefore the fact that he changed is not going to poter him. So the Gemara, let's say, says, I'll entertain that side, let's say. Let's say I'll entertain that if he didn't change his kavanah, he would have been hayab, so the changing doesn't affect. What about a case where he took, let's say, a gerogeret size out for achila, and then it shriveled. It got smaller. And now what? He changed his mind for ziri'ah. So now already you can't tell me if he didn't change his mind, he's going to be hayab, because on the contrary over here, since now his original kavanah was for achila, and now it shriveled, he would really be patur based on his original kavanah. But I'll say no, in that case maybe I'll say bottom line what it is now. Bottom line, it's shriveled and your kavanah was for ziri'ah, you'd be hayab in that case. We go according to what it is now. So the Gemara says, oh, you can go according to what it is now? What about the last and final case? What about a case where a person took out a gerogeret size for achila, it shriveled, it got swelled, the tafcha, and I got back, and then you put it down. So there I say, do I say, bottom line, it's the right shiur now, and therefore you're going to be hayab. You picked it up, it was a shiur of achila, you put it down, it's a shiur of achila, I don't care what happened in between, or do I say yesh nichui? Or do I say no? Since it lost its shi'ur for a moment, let's say, so therefore it's considered like a separate break, and therefore the akidah stands alone, and the anaha stands alone, therefore you're going to be patur. So basically four cases, and we end up in the last case in a tikkun. Now generally speaking, when the Gemara says v'im thimse lomar, when the Gemara usually entertains one side of a safik, usually that is the halakha. Usually the imtim sulamah says that's the side we're going to take. However, in the last case, the Gemara leaves off in a teku. Do we say yesh dihoy or endihoy? Comes the Gemara and says, ba'amine rabam rab nachmam. Now we discuss another case. Rava es rab nachmam. Zara kezayet teruma lebayet tameh mahu. A guy took a kezayet of teruma. Teruma is kodesh. And he threw it in a house that's tameh. How is the house tameh? Let's say there was a corpse in the house. Now we know that if you throw terumah into a house that's tameh, it itself will become tameh. And according to Shitat Rashi, if the terumah is the size of a kabetzah, it has the ability now to metameh other foods. Okay, you have to remember Shitat Rashi on this. Shitat Rashi holds for the terumah to become tameh any size. There's no minimum shiur for the terumah to become tameh, but for it to metameh other ochlim, it needs a shiur of a kabetzah. So what did the guy do over here? Let's review. He took a terumah, right, kezayit of it, and he threw it into a house that is tameh. Mahu, what is the deen? So the Gemara says, well, what are we talking about over here? Lemal. What is the deen regarding what? Ili'inyan Shabbat. If you're asking a Shabbat law, meaning you threw it from the public domain into the private domain. So the Gemara says, kigrogeret bainan. What's the shayla? Of course you're patur. Because you only threw a kizai worth of the terumah. We know Shabbat, the minimum is a kigrogeret. Even though Tosfot says he doesn't even understand what's the side of the question. If this was a Shabbat law, why would you have to give me a crazy case of a guy took a kezayit of terumah and threw it and that? If you just give me a Shabbat law, just say a kezayit of any food that you threw it. So it's difficult to understand what's even the haba. I mean, to think that this was a Shabbat law that we were discussing over here. In any event, ili'inyan tum'ah. If we're discussing the law of tum'ah, kabetzah ochlin ba'inan. In order for the terumah to bring tum'ah to other foods, you need a shiur of a kabetzah. And the guy only threw a kezayit, which means the law of tum'ah is also obvious over here. Threw a kezayit of terumah to a house that's tameh, you're right, that kezayit will be tameh. But I don't need a statement to teach me that. Obviously the kezayit is going to become tameh. And it's not going to be able to be mitameh others because it doesn't have a shiur of kapetza. So it's a no-brainer. What are you teaching me, Rava? So comes the Gemara and says, Le'olam le'anyan Shabbat. Gemara says, Hiddush. No, it's Shabbat law over here. Uchgon di'ika pachot mekabetzat ochlin. Let's say you had in the house, sitting on the floor already, less than a betza of ochlin. Now that ochil is tameh. But it does not have the ability to mitameh others, right? Because it's less than a kabetzah. And what did you do? Ve'hai mashlimo lebetzah. You threw this kezayit of teruma. It landed right next to that food. Now it combined gives you the measure of a kabetzah le'anyan tum'ah. So do I say like this? My mitztaref le'anyan tum'ah mehayev nameh le'anyan Shabbat. Do I say that since the shi'ur now, even though you threw less than a gerogeret, you threw a kezayit, but for tum'ah, it made siruf, which means now it joined to get the shi'ur of a kabetzah, so I'll say le'anyan shelat also. It joins now to make you hayav, because a kabetzah is bigger than a gerogeret. And therefore I'll consider that what? Once you combine it for tum'ah, I'll consider it combined the anyan Shabbat, and therefore you'll be hayav. O dilma, or do I say no? Call the anyan Shabbat, can you get it bainan? Or do I say, what are you mixing tum'ah with Shabbat? Bottom line, you threw a kezayit, for Shabbat purposes, you're patur. I don't go with this, it's siruf and tum'ah, I go with the bottom line, you gotta throw a get it. So that's the safek of Rava. Again, you had a less than a kabetzah in the house already sitting. You threw this kezayit of terumah, it landed right next to it. Now, for tum'ah purposes, it's considered one. Which is now it's considered one item, and therefore it has the ability to metameh other foods. Oh, so you're combining the shiur now. Oh, so once you combine the shiur for tum'ah, maybe combine it, l'anyan Shabbat, even though it's a little strange. You didn't throw it, but you only threw a kezayit. The only items that transferred the shiur were a kezayit. But what? Maybe I'll say, since it's connected l'anyan tum'ah, we connected l'anyan Shabbat, or do I say no? You gotta go with the get or get it. If you didn't throw a get or get it, the fact that you combine it for tumah is not gonna affect me. So the Gemara says, Amar le, he answered him back, Rav Nachman, Tanitua. That's a clear braita to answer this question. Abba Shaul Omer, Shte alechem, velechem apanim, Shi'uran, ki get or get it. Now what is Shte alechem? Shte alechem are the two loaves of bread that they used to bring on the holiday of Shavuot in the Beit HaMikdash, out of the first wheat. This is considered Kodesh. Lechem HaPanim is the showbread that used to sit on the table from week to week. This is also considered Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Shi'uran, the Shi'ur of these items is a Kigerogeret, the size of a Gerogeret. Meaning, if you'd carry these things on Shabbat, in the public domain, the shiur is going to be the size of a fig, just like all other food stuff. These items also have shiur of a kegerogeret. So the Gemara says, "Ve'amai, why did you take a shiur of kegerogeret on these items? Lema, why didn't you say medele anyan yotze bekezayit le'anyan Shabbat name bekezayit?" We know that the significant shiur for, let's say, lechem apanim. Let's say it like this. Lechem apanim, you're not allowed to take it out of the Beit HaMikdash area. It's got to stay within the confines of the Kodesh. You cannot take it out. The Kohanim must eat it in the Kodesh. What's the minimum shi'ur that if they took it out of the confines of the Kodesh, you're going to be hayav? So the shi'ur is a kezayit. Right? If you took even a kezayit of lechem apanim, or a kezayit of shtel lechem, and you took it out, you're going to be hayav. Okay? Now she just tells us, you're taking it out, chutz lechomat azara, you're taking it out of the, let's say, courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. So why don't you say, since we found that the shi'ur hashu for lechem apanim by another law, is what? Kezayit. And for that matter, let's say a person... A person ate the lechem apanim, and he was, let's say, tameh. What's the shi'ur significant shoot of him eating it that'll make him hayav, also a kezayit. So you see the law of lechem apanim, by eating it, if you're not allowed, is a kezayit. By removing it outside of it, is a kezayit. So why don't you say, oh, that since we found by other laws the significant shoot is a kezayit, so by Shabbat also it's a kezayit. But we don't say that. We say what? Who cares about other laws? But Shabbat the shoot is a get or get it. So to say the same thing by the case of Tumah. I don't care if we found by Tum'ah that you can combine the measures together to make a kabetzah. For Shabbat you need a get or get it. Just like you didn't take into consideration by the Lechem HaPanim, other shi'urim of kezayits and other places to lower the shi'ur is still get or get it. So therefore don't combine Tum'ah shi'ur for the shi'ur of Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Hachiyashta. Is that a fair comparison? What are you comparing the cases for? There's no connection between the Lechem HaPanim case and the Tum'ah case. Why? Hatam, over there by the Lechem HaPanim, Medafke chutz lechomata azara, ifsile biyotze. However, a Shabbat lo mechayev adma pikle l'reshut rabim. Which means by the case of Lechem HaPanim, the Isurim happen at separate times. Meaning, when the guy takes the lechem apanim, let's say, the kezayit of it, when he takes it outside, let's say, the wall of the azara, at that point he's hayav on taking out a kezayit. But he still didn't transgress the law of Shabbat yet, because that's also considered still a private domain. The law of Shabbat doesn't kick in until you take it out into the, let's say, the reshut harabim. So therefore, for sure, I'm not going to take a kezayit shiur for the Shabbat shiur. I mean, they happen at separate times, so there'll be no have I mean to say to take a kezayit shiur and a gerogeret to make it a Shabbat shiur. It happens at different times. However, in the case of the tum'ah that we discussed, the Gemara says, "Acha Shabbat v'tum'ah b'hadeh hadadi katyan." In the case of over here, the tum'ah hits tarfut combination, and the isur Shabbat happens simultaneously. Because when does the tum'ah kick in? Once the kezayit tum'ah falls down next to the other stuff, now it combines for a kabetzah. When does Shabbat hit in? Also, the moment this hits the floor, it's also considered hanaha. The hanaha, yechayav, right? You made akiran reshut yachid, you threw it into the house. Right? It landed into the house. Once it lands on the floor, both Isur Shabbat and Isur Tum'ah hit simultaneously. Therefore, I might say, since the Inyan Tum'ah at this point, it's considered Siruf, the Inyan Shabbat also is going to be considered Siruf, even though you threw less to the ghetto get it. Therefore, the Gemara leaves it in the question. Don't bring me a proof from the case of Lechem HaPanim. The case of Lechem HaPanim, for sure, the Kezayit law is not going to affect the Shabbat law. Because it happens at separate times. The Beit HaMikdash was considered a shuti yachid, a private domain. I took the lechem apanim kezayit outside the wall, let's say, of the azara. I'm still in a private domain. But did I transgress the isur of taking out lechem apanim? Yes. You took it out of the wall. You're hayav at that point. Shabbat law doesn't kick in until I take it out of the Beit HaMikdash area into the public domain. So of course, I'm not going to be bound by a Isur Hotza'ah law to connect it to a Shabbat law. But in the case of Tumah, it's a little different. In the case of Tumah, where I threw a Kezayit, so I made Akira B'Rishut Harabim, and I threw it into the house, which is Rishut Hayahid. When am I Hayaf for Shabbat? When it lands. I need Hanaha. At that moment that I'm Hayaf on Shabbat, it also combines L'Inyan Tumah. So therefore, I might have thought, maybe therefore there's a connection. And therefore say Hayav Lenyan Shabbat as well. Because simultaneously, you have a Tzidu for Tumah. The Gemara leaves that in a question. The Gemara does not resolve that Safek that Rava asked Rav Nachman. Comes the Gemara further and says, Hazar v'hichniso Eno Hayav Ela Keshi'uro. And that was the last case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's last case was like this. The guy, let's say, stored, we'll take a case of seeds. He stored one seed. And therefore we said that one seed is considered significant to him. And let's say he takes it out, it'll be hayav. But let's say he took it out. Now he's going to bring it back, let's say, to the storage house where he stored it. And when he's bringing it back, he's, in his mind he said, you know what? What's one seed? It's not significant to me anymore. So the Mishnah said, at that point, he's not going to be Hayav. Because bottom line, since it's not significant for him anymore, now he goes back to the default measurement of seeds. Either two seeds or five seeds, but it's not going to be one seed. So the Gemara asks on this, Peshita. Isn't that obvious? Which means the only reason why he was Hayav is because he gave it Hashivut. Once already the guy in his mind says this is not Hashuv to him anymore, why would I think he should be Hayav? So Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Hachabi Ma'askina. We're talking about a specific case. Let's say he went back to his storage place, right? He took that one seed and he threw it back into the storage place now. Now, by throwing it, that clearly shows us that it's really not significant to him anymore. He just threw it amongst, let's say, other fruit. He just threw it in there. However, but it landed in a place where it stood alone, where it's still evident. It didn't just get mixed up with everything else. Yeah, he threw it in, but it happened to land on the side where it stood alone. I would have thought that, what? Since the place where it landed is still noticeable, I would say maybe it retains its original status of hashivut, and therefore the guy would be hayav for such a shi'ur. Kamashmalan, the Hadush of Mishnah is what? Midzarke le'otzar betule batla. The fact that he threw it, once he's throwing it back into the store, that shows you what? He don't care about it anymore. Happened to be it landed on its own? I don't care if it landed on its own. Bottom line, his original intent is nullified, and therefore it's going to be patur. Then he goes back to the regular shirudim. And now we start the second Mishnah of the Perek. Hamotzi ochlin. A person, let's say, removes food from his house. Let's say it was the proper shiur of a gid or get it. Vinatnan ala iskupa. What is an iskupa? Literally, we'll call it, let's say, a stoop that's in front of the guy's house. Now, a stoop is like a little ledge that comes up off the ground. Now, he places it on the iskupa, right? He placed the food. Ben shahazar vehotzian. Whether he came along now and took the item, this foodstuff, off the askupa and put them into the shutarabim now, ben shotsi'an aher, or whether somebody else came and took them off the askupa and put them in the public domain, patur. Why? Because he did not do a melacha in one shot. Now, the Gemara is going to have to analyze for us, what status does this iskupa have? Is it considered a private domain? A public domain? Is it a rabbinical domain called the Karmelit? But clearly the Mishnah is telling you, you went from the house to the askupa. It landed. Then you took it from the askupa to the Reshut HaRabim, patur. Or somebody else took it from the askupa to the Reshut HaRabim, patur. Now we have to see why patur. We'll wait for the Gemara to give us some details why you should be patur. Last case in the Mishnah, kupa. Kupa, you have a kupa would be, let's say, a basket or a box. Shim el aperot, that's filled with fruit. Venatna ala iskupa hachitzona. You placed it on the back stoop. It's called iskupa hachitzona. Clearly this iskupa is talking about an iskupa that's less than 3 tefahim, so it's right off the ground, and it's definitely considered the Reshut HaRabim. There is no question about the last case of the Mishnah. You took a basket of fruit, let's say, yeah, and you placed it on the, from your house, you went to Reshut HaYachid, and you placed it on the iskupa, which is the Reshut HaRabim. So it says, Afapi shirov perot mibahutz, even though the majority of the fruit, let's say, in the basket are outside, however you are patur, because bottom line, since the basket itself is still partly in the Reshut Hayahid, so you're going to be patur. Again, let's review that last case. Kupa shimede apero, right? You had a kupa box, we'll call it, that was filled with fruit. Venatnal eskupa hachaytsona, which is the Reshut HaRabim. Even though the majority of the fruit, let's say, are on the eskupa, which is, let's say, the shoot, harabim, you're going to be patur. Achi, you'll see it kol akupa. Until the entire kupa is on the eskupa, until the entire kupa is out. The Gemara will explain exactly what this case is as well. We're just explaining the words now. We're going to wait for the Gemara to elaborate. Comes the Gemara and says, Hai askupa mai. The askupa in the first case of the Mishnah, where a guy was in the Shuta Yahid, he took, let's say, get it of food and put it on the askupa. Right? Then he took it from the askupa and put it in the Shuta Rabim. Or somebody else, for that matter, took it from the askupa and put it in the Shuta Rabim. And the deen in the Mishnah was what? Patur. So the Gemara says, what is this askupa? What's its status? Ilema askupa reshuta Rabim. If you tell me that we're talking about an askupa that has the deen of reshuta Rabim, patur? Are you going to tell me patur? Ah, kamapik mreshut yachid mreshut rabim. What are you talking? The guy in the house, he took it from the reshut yachid, put it on the askupa, that's clearly a isu deoraita. He went from a private domain to a public domain. El askupa reshut yachid. So must be talking about an askupa that has the status of a reshut hayachid. So the Gemara says, ben shahazar votsian, ben shosian achir patur. Then how could you tell me if he took it from the askupa and put it in the Reshut Rabim, or somebody else took it from the askupa and put it from the Reshut Rabim, he's going to be patur? Hakamapik Reshut Yahid Reshut Rabim. What do you mean? He's going from a private domain to a public domain. So that can't be the case either. Ela askupa karmelit. We're talking about the askupa as the status of a karmelit. Karmelit is a rabbinical domain. What's the size of a karmelit? So we learned in the earlier perakim, it's, let's say, a stoop that's between 3 and 10 tefachim. I have one condition that I want to tell you. It's between 3 and 10, but not 9 tefachim. Okay? Because a stoop that's 9 tefachim is considered still a reshut rabim. That specific shiur, as we learned earlier in the Masechet, because rabim mechetfim ale, because it's a very comfortable shiur for people in the reshut rabim to set their backpacks against it and set their loads. You know, so it's a little high for them to lean on it to set their back. So therefore, that's considered not an impediment. On the contrary, that's considered usage. So leave 9. Let's say 3 to 10, not including the shiur of, let's say, 9. Let's say 4 by 4 tefahim wide. That would be considered a karmelit. It's a rabbinical domain. And therefore, the guy went from the reshut yachid to the karmelit, patur. Right? Of course, it's asur. It's not asur deoraita, but it's patur aval asur. Somebody went there from the askupa to the reshut yachid will also be patur. So comes the Gemara and says, ma'akamashmalan. So what's the hadush of this Mishnah? Do I need a Mishnah to come and tell me that if a guy went from a Reshut Yahid to a Karmelit, he's Patur? I mean, that's basic knowledge that we learned in the earlier Perakim. What is the Mishnah coming to tell me? I know a Karmelit is not a Deoraita domain. So Gemara says, Ta'ama denach be Karmelit. Yeah, you know why you're Patur? Because Bama, he placed it down on the Karmelit. Halo nach be Karmelit. But let's say it didn't rest on the Karmelit. Meaning, let's say he just walked it across. He went from his house, he was holding a get it the food. He went from his reshut yachid, he walked over the stoop, and he stopped in the reshut arabim. Since he didn't stop on the karmelit, mehayev, he's going to be hayav. Now, is that a chidush? It is a chidush. Matnitim delo ke ben azai. Our Mishnah is not going like ben azai. The Tanya, because we have a bright time, motzi mehanut lefaltiya. Hanut is a store, right? A store is reshut yachid. The paltiya would be considered the marketplace that's in front of the store. That would be considered the shoot. Harabim. Derech satyo. Through the satyo. What was the satyo? If you remember how the old marketplaces used to look, if you saw pictures of it, there were benches all over the place in the reshut harabim. So therefore, these benched area where the people would sit, or where they would, let's say, show their wares, that area where the benches are is considered a karmelit. Why? Because it's really not so accessible for the rabbin to walk through. So you ruined the reshut rabbin by putting these benches there. So what did you do? You went from the hanut, you walked through the benched area, the karmelit area, and you ended up in the paltiya, which is the reshut rabbin. So the Gemara says, we have a machloket. Tana Kama says, chayav. Because bottom line, you made your akira in a reshut yachid, you made your hanaha in the reshut rabbin. I don't care where you walk through in the middle.
poter. Ben Azai says patur. Why? Because bottom line, he says if you walk through the Karmelit, bottom line, it breaks it up. It's considered as if the item stopped in the Karmelit, and therefore he considers if you went from Rishut Yahid to a Karmelit, and then to a Karmelit to a Rishut Harabim, even though you didn't stop. But Ben Azai says it's considered as if you stopped, because he holds Hanahat Gufor is like Hanahat Chefetz, which means bottom line, when you're walking through, even though let's say you didn't put the item down, but your body went through it, and it stood there, let's say even, so he considers the fact that you stood there, that's considered that the Chefetz went down. Let's say if he did stop there for a second, according to Hakim, it doesn't matter. Bottom line, you're holding the Chefetz, you didn't put the Chefetz down, let's say. So bottom line, what's the Hiddush of our Mishnah? Let's go back to our Mishnah. The Hiddush of our Mishnah is that the guy went and took the item from his house, and he put it on the Askupa. What's the deen? Patur. Why is it Patur? Because he put it down. But if he would have walked it across, he would be Hayav. To the exclusion of the opinion of Ben Azai. Comes the Gemara and continues. Malik Omed. Ben Azai's opinion is walking through the Karmelit is considered as if you stopped. Even though you didn't stop. Even though you didn't stop, of course. Which means you walk through the Karmelit. Me'alech is considered as if you paused. Therefore, you're going to say patur, because you went from a reshut yahid. You walked through the, in the case of the satyor, let's say, with the benched area, that's considered it rested there, and therefore you're going to be patur according to Ben Azai, but hayav according to Tanakama. Comes the Gemara and continues. We get to the last case of our Mishnah. We discussed the case of the kupa. We have a case of a basket. The basket was filled with fruit. He placed the basket on the askupa chitzona, which we said was an eshut harabim. So seemingly this is a no-brainer. You went from an eshut to yachid, and you placed the basket in an eshut harabim. But the Mishnah said that there's cases that you're going to be patur. So the Gemara wants to analyze. Amar Chizkiya. Lo sha'anu ela bekupa mele'a kishu'in v'dilu'in. We're talking about a basket that was filled with kishu'in, is cucumbers, and dilu'in, let's say, is squash. What do these have in common? They're long items. And therefore, part of them are going to be inside, and part of them are going to be outside. You put them on the skupa, right? Forget about where the boxes. Let's look where the fruit are. Part of the vegetable, or the part of the cucumber is in the reshut harabim, and the other part of the cucumber is in the reshut. Okay. That's why you're going to be patur. No, that's why you're patur. Because you didn't take the whole vegetable out. Because we're talking about long vegetables. However, aval mele'a chardal hayav. But let's say the box would be filled with mustard seed. Mustard seed, small little seeds. So I don't care if the box is not fully out. Bottom line, the mustard seed's very small. It is all in the reshut harabim. And therefore you're going to be hayav. So Hizkiyah makes a difference between long vegetables where you're going to be patur, the mustard seed where you're going to be hayav. No, no, they're in the basket itself. But bottom line, measure. No. You have a box. You placed cucumbers in a box. You took the box and you placed it on the askupa. Right. Now, if you look, make a mark on where your cucumbers are, half of your cucumber is still in the house, and half of your cucumber is on the askupa. Therefore, you didn't take out the full cucumber. Therefore, you're going to be patur. But if it was mustard seed in the box, well, mustard seed's all on the askupa. Therefore, you're going to be hayav. Now, Hezkiah holds of a certain principle for this to be true. And the Gemara says, Alma Kasabar must be that he holds Eged Kili La Sheme Eged. What does this mean? The fact that you have this mustard seed, for example, in a box. Right? So the box is collecting and gathering all this mustard seed together. So some will hold that I go after the box. bottom line, since the box is not fully, let's say, under Askupa, since the box is partly in the Reshut Hayahid, everything goes after the box. That would say Eged Keli Sheme Eged. The Eged of the Keli, the collection of the Keli, is considered a collection. Therefore, I don't care if part of the items in the box are in the public domain. Obviously, Hizkiah does not subscribe to this opinion. Because he says, I don't care if the box is not fully under Askupa. Bottom line, since the mustard seed is out, since it's under Askupa, you're going to be Hayab. Therefore, Eged Kli, Lo Sheme Eged. And the Keli does not collect them to be Patur. That's the Shita of Hizkiah. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Rabbi Yohanan argues and says, Afilu mele'ah chardal patur. He said, even if it's filled with mustard seed, patur. I don't care what's in there, cucumbers, mustard seed, patur. Why? Alma kasabar eged kli sheme eged. Because he says, you go after the box itself. The box collects the items. So I don't even know mustard seed technically is resting on the askupa, but if the part of the vessel itself is in the reshut hayahid, so therefore you're going to be patur. The vessel collects the items to make it inside, to consider it inside. Comes the Gemara and says like this. So we have again, we have a machloket between Hizkiyah and Rabbi Yohanan. Amar Rabbi Zera, matnitin de lo ki Hizkiyah daika, u lo ki Rabbi Yohanan daika. Our Mishnah is not precise, not according to Hizkiyah, and not according to Rabbi Yohanan. Why? Ki Hizkiyah lo daika, it's not precise according to Hizkiyah, diktani. Because what did our Mishnah say? Ad shiyotzi et kol hakupa. Right? If you look at the last line of the Mishnah, it said, ad shiyotzi et kol hakupa. Until you move the whole kupa outside. Now wait, according to Hizkiyah, you don't need to do that. Even if the part of the kupa is inside, so long as the mustard seed, for example, is outside, that's enough. Which is, if you hold eged kli lo sheme eged, that we don't go after the box, we go after what's in it. So therefore, why would the Mishnah say ad shiyotzi et kol hakupa? That's not necessary. So the Gemara says tama de kol hakupa, ha kol haperot patur. Which means the only reason you're telling me what you're going to be hayav is what if the whole box is outside. Ha kol haperot, but if the perot, for example, the mustard seeds are out, you're going to be patur it's mashma. Only if the box is out. But if the seeds are out, patur. Alma, what does the Mishnah must hold? Kasmar eged kli sheme eged. Must be you go after the box. That's against Hizkiyah. So Gemara says, Ki Rabbi Yohanan lo daika. It's not going like Rabbi Yohanan either. Why? Diktani, because it says, Afal pi sherov perot bachutz. Right, go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, that even though the majority of the fruit are outside, patur. What does that imply? That only if the majority are out, patur. But if all of the fruit are out, you're going to be hayav, even though it's in a keli. That shows you what? Eged keli, lo sheme eged. That's against Rabbi Yohanan. So Gemara says, Tamad, rov perot. The only reason why you're patur, because it's rov perot. Ha kol perot. But if it was all the afal gav de agida kupa megavai, even though it's being collected in the kupa that's inside, Hayab alma must be the Mishnah holds kasabat eged keli lo sheme eged, and therefore you're going to be hayab. And now, not only is the Mishnah not going like Hizkiyah nor the Yohanan, the ela kasha, the Mishnah itself is a kasha because the Mishnah itself contradicts each other.
Right.
Which means from the first case and the last case, we have contradictory implications. So the Gemara says, Hizkiyah mitaretz letame, but Rabbi Yohanan mitaretz letame. Both Tanaim can explain the Mishnah according to their reasoning. Hizkiyah mitaretz letame, Hizkiyah will explain according to his reasoning, ad shiyotzi et kol hakupa, which is when the Mishnah said that you have to take the whole kupa out. I'll tell you what it was talking about. Yeah, it was talking about because you had cucumbers. So since you had cucumbers, so if it's in, if it's out, you're going to be patur. The only way you can be hayav when you have long cucumbers is what? You have to remove the whole keli out, the whole basket out. But if you have, let's say, mustard seed in there, Nasa kemish yotzi et kol hakupa v'hayav. I don't care if you didn't bring the whole kupa. So long as the mustard seed is out, we don't go after the keli, because eged kli lashemeh. Eged, therefore you're going to be hayav. So he'll explain the Mishnah's talking about long vegetables. So Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Yohanan mitrets atame." How will Rabbi Yohanan explain? Afal pi shirov perot b'chutz ve'lo rov perot bilvad ela afilu kol perot patur ad shiyosiyet kol hakupa. So Rabbi Yohanan is going to have to say, when the Mishnah said that if rov perot are out, it's patur. It's not. Doesn't only mean rov perot. It means not only rov perot, but even all the perot. Which, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, even let's say you have mustard seed, and all the mustard seed is out, you're still patur. Why? Because the keli is eged, right? Eged keli shimeh eged. So therefore, he'll have to learn the Mishnah. So he'll have to say, when the Mishnah said rov perot patur, it's not only rov perot patur. It's even kol haperot out is patur. Meaning, even if all, let's say, the mustard seed is out, still patur. Why? Because it goes after the box. One more point. We have a question from a braita. Hamotzi kupat harochlin. Kupat harochlin, we learned earlier in the Mishnah, was the box that the peddlers used to put all their wares in. Venata ala eskupa haitzona. So you went from the reshut ha'ayin and you placed it on the eskupa, which is the reshut harabim. Afal pi shirov minin bachutz patur. Even though the majority of the spices, let's say, that are in the box are outside, you're going to be patur. Ad shiyotzi et kol hakupa. Right, until you take out the entire kupa. Kas al kadatak. We're thinking at this point, what do you have in the kupat rochlin? Bitserare. We're talking about bitserare, that she says that it was wrapped up in their small crushed spices. We're talking about you have small items, like mustard seed. You have small items. And what are we saying? That the only time you're going to be hayav is once you remove the whole kupa outside. Even though you have a lot of the spices themselves outside. Who's that a question on? Kasha l'Hezkiyah. Because according to Hezkiyah, I don't go after the vessel where the vessel is. He holds eged kli lasheme eged. And therefore, if you have this kupat roklin with spices in there, and some spices are outside in this kupa, you should be hayav according to him. Why then does the Braita say, until you remove the whole eskupa out, kasha according to Hezkiyah, amalecha Hezkiyah, hacha b'may askinan be'urnasi. I'll tell you, what are we talking about? You know what you had in this box over here? You had long spices, for example, cinnamon sticks and things like that. And therefore, you had half in, half out. But you're right, if you would have, it's exactly, it's like the cucumbers. But if you had small items, so long as they're on the scupa, even though the box part of it is inside, eged kili, la shemeh eged. Baruch Adonai de'olam. Amen, amen.